Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're continuing our expectations series tonight with Adafe Owe and Charlie Kolar. Looking forward to their 2024 season, based on what's happened, obviously, the last year or two. Joining me to do that is Peter Kokoros. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Excited to be back on this show once again. Always been a pleasure doing this show, and two great players to talk about tonight.
Should be a lot of fun. And you want to talk about your pod a little bit up front? One winning pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Named after One Winning Drive. That's the the tie there. One Winning Pod. Do that show with Alec Polianis, who's been on this show plenty of times. Listeners have probably heard at least one of his pods. And Chris Rayborg has been on for a bit too. We actually just finished our recording an episode right before this one. We'll see which one gets out first. Going through the AFC North, what each of the other three teams did in the offseason to change their lineups and address things, and how the Ravens will match up with them going into the season. So that'll be out around the time this comes out.
All right. So probably beat it out by a few days, I'm guessing. But that's a good show idea. I should get on that, by the way, sometime before camp. But really appreciate that. So, Peter, you picked Adafe Owe and Charlie Kolar, that pairing. Was there any reason why you wanted it?
Yeah. I mean, both of those guys, I think that they have a shot for really interesting seasons. Kolar, we haven't seen that much from him, but you know, since 2010, when the Ravens drafted Ed Dixon and Dennis Pitta, they've been hitting on the tight end position. Maybe those guys don't always, you know, end up being regular contributors with the Ravens. Maybe it's with somewhere else. But the fact that their track record is good as it is really has me intrigued for what Kolar can do with his NFL career when he's in a situation where he can contribute a little more than what he'll probably be able to this year with Andrews and likely ahead of him on the depth chart. And Owe, you know, we've seen this with a lot of edge rusher guys the Ravens have drafted. First two or three seasons, there's flashes of, you know, big sack production and being really disruptive on the defense, but they really don't really break out until year four or five. So I think Owe has shown some traits where he can follow that path, but, you know, we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. We'll certainly talk about that, but certainly an interesting candidate for defensive breakout coming into 24.
For offensive or defensive, or Adafe for defensive.
Yes. For defense, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's start with Charlie Kolar. I think everybody would agree he's kind of the undercard to this, and that's the order we've been doing them generally on this show. You made an interesting point with the number of tight ends the Ravens have drafted, because they have drafted quite a few tight ends. I was actually going to look it up while you were talking, then I kind of got distracted by a shiny object here or something else. But anyway, many more tight ends drafted than other position groups on a pro rata share of total snaps. So if you average 1.5 snaps on offense, and that's a 1.5 out of 22 positions, not counting kicker and punter who don't always, you know, merit a draft pick and whatnot, the Ravens have still drafted, you know, Charlie Kolar, Isaiah Likely, and then it was a while, Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst. And you go back a little further, as Crockett Gilmore is in one of these years, Max Williams and Nick Boyle. Crockett Gilmore, and let's see, anybody else in this list here? That takes us back basically to 2014, and you know, they drafted 8 or 9 guys in that period who are tight ends. You wouldn't expect them to need that many, but they've had a decent hit rate on them. You know, Crockett Gilmore ended up trying to convert to tackle, and that didn't really work out, but generally they have, and Kolar is a guy who is a little bit blocked, frankly, in this franchise. For at least 2024 with Andrews and Likely ahead of him. But he was active for 13 of 19 games last year and had a role for the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one asterisk you could put on that tight end list would be back in 2015, Darren Waller, drafted as a wide receiver. So good obviously point. He came into the NFL and they converted him to tight end and broke out with the Raiders. But yeah, I mean, I agree. It'll be interesting to see if Kolar is able to get on the field any more, you know, this year than he did last season. Andrews is obviously entrenched as the number one. And, you know, I think some of us were expecting a little more 21 personnel from Monken in his first year, but really Likely himself had a heck of a time getting on the field, getting consistent targets while Andrews was, you know, healthy. He didn't really get the ball thrown his way until after Andrews went down. So on the onset of that, you know, doesn't really look like there's a great path for Kolar to get on the field for receiving targets. Maybe for blocking, maybe we'll see him in an increased role there. But it feels like, you know, an injury to Andrews or Likely, which we obviously don't want as Ravens fans, would be the situation where we'd see more of him than we did last year.
Actually, 268 snaps last year from Kolar, which is, you know, a decent amount, but he had a big drop against Houston in week one. And then he didn't get another target until week 11. Okay. That's a long time in purgatory. It's not like he played no snaps during that time. He did have a couple inactive games. Inactive, it looks like weeks 2, 3, and 5, but he had, you know, a fair number of snaps, probably close to 100 over that period and a little less. And it was all as a blocker. That was what he was in there. In fact, of the 268 snaps, he had 187 or as a run blocker or runner. He had one, I believe he carried the ball once. So he kind of became the designated Nick Boyle in this offense. And it's a tough spot to really get snaps in because you also have Patrick Ricard competing for some of that same position.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a question with Ricard going into the season. Really, I think a lot of the people in the fan base were concerned that Ricard may have just been, you know, the product of the Greg Roman offense. But Ricard certainly put all those questions out of mind with his play in 23. He was on the field for a lot, had a lot of, you know, big role as a blocker. What is interesting, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, So if I'm not wrong, I don't keep up on the contracts as much as other people do, but I do believe that this is the last year of Ricard's deal. It'll be interesting to see if maybe the Ravens kind of groom Kolar to take over for Ricard's role as a blocker. That would look different for Kolar because they're two different, you know, athletes. But if Kolar has a strong season as a blocker, if maybe, you know, he could make re-signing Patrick Ricard, who's not on a huge contract, but relative to, you know, the rest of the team, I think he's in the top 10. That might be an avenue they could be looking. But again, that's looking beyond 24, and we're looking at 24th right now.
I could look at 24, and I could see a path where Ricard might be cut this year. I know the Ravens are not super happy with the injury history. It's a $4 million savings for cutting him. It's right around the same for McCary. I believe McCary might be $4.4 million they save if they cut him. In both cases, they're valuable players, and they're players you don't want to be without. But if the Ravens' left tackle depth in particular looks good beyond McCary, I could see them cutting him loose. It seems very stupid, you know, given that he's almost a league average player as a backup left tackle is extremely valuable. He had a much better year than Ronnie Stanley last year, and it's probably not a good idea to discard those cards. You know, it's like discarding four cards in your hand and hoping that your ace turns into something.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not real keen on the notion of letting McCary go, but it could happen. I think it's more likely with Ricard because they're a little bit more stuffed at the position. I think also the Ravens are always kind of looking for the next Patrick Ricard. So if they feel like they have that athletic lineman or, you know, a player that they think would fit in Ricard's place, maybe in camp, I don't think they're going to wait too long given Ricard's, you know, long history of not really missing a lot of time, but having a lot of injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I could certainly see that. And I mean, you know, the other part of that is he's also not, you know, I don't like calling these players that are, you know, have hit their 30-year mark as older players because, you know, that's me now. I'm now over 30. But the reality is, you know, at a position like that, you know, the age is starting to creep up. So, yeah, I mean, is Kolar the answer to after Ricard? I don't know. But I mean, that's the other thing when we look at Kolar, just I mean, maybe as a blocker, we could say we kind of know what he is at this point, can certainly develop into better. The real question really is what he is as a receiving threat. Mm-hmm. Will the Ravens need to use him as that again? Probably not to injury, but yeah, I mean, we've gotten a little bit of a preview of that in the preseason, but in the regular season, most of the routes he's been able to run really haven't been contested. Really, it's been stuff where he's been wide open and, you know, kind of the last read on a play.
That's certainly true of his targets. He was targeted only 9 times last year, and it went well. I mean, 7 of 9, a touchdown included. Even after that week one drop, he came back and played well the rest of the year. When he did get targets, he only ran 68 routes all year, 268 snaps. He only ran a route 68 times. He was kept in a pass block. I think that means 13 times. Yes, because that would total up, including his blocks as a runner as well. So, you know, they had great success throwing to the tight ends. And this is it's a weird situation. This has come up on other shows, so I apologize if you're hearing this for the second time or more. But the Ravens had a passer rating throwing to their tight ends last year of over 140 with 12 touchdowns and no interceptions. But they dropped from their very high and unhealthily high, I'll call it, 195 targets to the tight ends in 2022 when they played very heavy jumbo sets to only 110 in 23 with Monken supposedly able to use any scheme, including 12 personnel. They really cut the targets to tight ends very dramatically, but increased the efficiency tremendously. So yeah, I say this in gambling, and I'll go back to the same metaphor, even though I've used it already, is that there's only two ways you can feel after a hand of blackjack. You can push or you can lose the hand and be pissed off. So you're pissed off because you lost, or you pissed off because you didn't bet enough. Those are really the only two outcomes. This is a pissed off because they didn't bet enough situation. And there is a ground in between where they were 140 passer rating with 110 targets and whatever it was the year before with 195 targets, wouldn't have been nearly as good. Take a little bit more interception risk probably, but I think there are more targets to be squeezed out of this tight end group.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. And you also, when you look at the offense as a whole, while maybe Odell Beckham wasn't exactly everything that we thought he'd be, or some fans would be, I think fans were split on whether on how effective he would be in the offense. I mean, he still had a significant number of targets, routes run in the offense, and maybe Bateman is ready to step up and take that role. But if he's not, then you're looking at that as something that needs to be replaced in this offense. I mean, some of that will be, Mark Andrews coming back and hopefully being healthy. But the targets left over from Odell, that could be a space for a few more balls to be thrown towards Kolar's way.
Yeah, 69 targets and 361 routes weren't run for Beckham. So it's more than five times as much. That actually is a fair number of however you want to define it, snaps, targets, routes, whatever you want to call it. That's a lot to distribute to other players, to find other players for it. They will do it. Obviously, first of all, they'll do it out of necessity, but whether it means using tight ends, whether it means using Aguilar as much as they did last year, because he had 45 targets, I would expect his target total to go down as well. But I expect Bateman's to go up. I expect them to get more out of the tight ends. I expect them to get some out of Tez Walker, they had actually a fair number of running back targets this last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they used Derrick Henry a little bit as a receiver, as well as some of the other backs they have who are more naturally fit into that ball in space mode, like Hill or Ali. They've got options, and Mitchell if he returns. They've got a fair number of targets that they need to replace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that distribution that you called out there is basically along the lines of what I'm looking at as well. Not part of this conversation, but hopefully Bateman can have a breakout year coming up.
Critical. Absolutely critical.
Yeah.
he gets so much of the space is given to him as an X receiver. He needs to make better use of it and draw attention, beat single coverage, those two things. If you got to do one of them on every play. You got to beat single coverage or you got to draw attention down the field from the safety. And either one of those, if he's doing it regularly on a play, obviously the Ravens are going to have a much more space-friendly offense to work with over the middle of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess to back up a second here, we talked a little bit about, possibility of camp cuts with Ricard and Mekari. Now, Kolar, he will only be coming into his third year in the NFL, so it seems likely that he's going to make the team. But can we say at this point that he is a lock to make the roster?
I think the chances are awfully high. Basically, they kept him on the roster the entirety of last year, even after a frustrating drop and 10 weeks of getting no targets. I would have a hard time. I think they'd cut a lot of players before they'd cut Charlie Kolar. I don't see him as being on the fringe of the roster. There's less sand in the hourglass this year. I think you're alluding to saying entering year three is you only have an option now purchased on year four. If they were very upset with how he had developed in the offseason or he gained weight or something had gone wrong, then I guess it's possible they'd cut him before the season. But it's also... it's the usual time to cut a player like this is in year four, not in year three. There is a risk in year three, not nothing, but I think he played well enough in the time he got. He did a lot of the dirty work, played enough total snaps that it would be a fairly atypical Ravens move to cut him this year.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I actually, the only reason I brought that up was that question crossed my mind as we were talking about Ricard there, but I agree. I think this year is very important for him as far as carving his place out on the roster. But if he if he doesn't for any reason, then next year will be tough for him. Though it is interesting, you said, you know, in case he, you know, if he gained weight, maybe that would be an issue. But it does look like, you know, it has reported that he did bulk up during the off season, but it appears to be, you know, muscle mass and something the coaches wanted him to do. So not sure exactly why he did that, but maybe, you know, like we're saying, the Ravens used him a lot more in a blocking role last year, taking on the, you know, that Nick Boyle role. And maybe that's what he's really focusing on, you know, just getting some more muscle mass there, be able to battle out in the trenches. Cause I think that he looked, you know, I think he looked competent out there as a run blocker, but certainly there did look like there was room for improvement.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's something that, they probably put him in a role where they wanted him to do a little bit more. And Monken is probably a little more comfortable with having a combined offensive weapon and blocker out there, as opposed to having Ricard, who is much more of a pure blocking threat, if you want to call him that. Kolar talked to camp last year about gaining about 5 pounds to improve his muscle, and that is apparently is very, very difficult to put on good weight. It's not hard to put on bad weight, and I do tell you, generally speaking, put on the most weight you can carry around athletically. If you can carry an extra 15 pounds, you can still move the way you did, then do it. But what they really want is for you to put on as much muscle as you can, and do it that way. But he's not a pure inline tight end. And although they ran the whole offense through him at Iowa State, he's not a pure receiving tight end either at the NFL level. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this year. He could certainly be forced into a larger role if anything happened, but hopefully that doesn't.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump right in and say, what's a good season for Charlie Kolar for you?
Absolutely. I have it over here. Let me get that up for a second. Yeah. So for a good year for him, you know, I didn't view it as too much more from what he did last year, because, you know, again, like I was saying, we're expecting him to be third on this depth chart. Mark Andrews and Isaiah likely haven't shown any reason to not be getting the majority of the routes run. So, you know, from a statistical standpoint, I'd say between the range of 10 to 15 receptions, 120 to 150 yards, 1 to 3 touchdowns, I think that would be, you know, a reasonable kind of a increase of what we saw from him. And then, I mean, generally speaking, improvement as a run blocker, because that's what, you know, his main role is probably going to be in this offense.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable, by the way. And you're not setting outrageous statistics out there, which we sometimes hear out of any receiving player. But a good season for me, I'll just read it. Does enough things well: play action, receiving, plain receiving, blocking, being on special teams, that he's active most, if not every week. Now, he's only active 13 of 19 this last year. That doesn't really meet the standard for me. I'd really expect him to be valuable enough on special teams and with his role as the third tight end, that he's pretty much consistently active, that he's not one of the moving pieces. They have to decide, parking lot puzzle wise, is he in or out this week because of our other needs? So I'd expect him to be active more than probably 15 to 16, 17 games. Builds a niche as a blocker and rapport with Jackson such that he's on the field for some specific packages and situations. I'm not going to say anything about his statistics. I just think something has to be better about his relationship with Jackson such that he gets the football occasionally. And I think we saw in those first 10 weeks after the drop against Houston that things were not entirely right. He ran some routes during that time. He just wasn't getting the football at all. There may have been some components of scheme. There's also probably some components of trust. And I think Jackson's had this issue come up with a variety of receivers. He seems to kind of, a lot of receivers have a lot of trust in the bank. Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, a lot of people have much less trust in the bank, and Bateman and Kolar certainly both fit into that category. So I just want an improved situation with Jackson. By the way, if Jackson says, I want everybody to come to South Florida and nobody wants to do that, Kolar should be one of the first people saying, yeah, get me there. Wide receiver on the Ravens should be, but he would be one to really benefit.
Yeah, that's for certain. I agree with that.
How about a great season? What does that look like to you?
Yeah, great season. I did still do a little bit of statistics here. I think that his cap in a season where, you know, everyone's healthy, which isn't really going to happen. We know there's going to be some injuries to someone at some point. About 20 to 25 receptions, cap of 300 yards, about 2 to 4 touchdowns. And among that, kind of what you were saying, you know, finding his niche as a blocker, but I guess specifically like find his role in the offense. Is he, you know, a run blocker? Is he a red zone threat? Is he a guy who on third down, Lamar is going to look his way? You know, find something that, you know, it makes him more than just a guy the Ravens are, you know, rolling out there when they need to give guys a breather. Just really have a role, a stated role in the offense.
Mm-hmm. That's good to me. I said develops a connection with Lamar as either a primary or bailout receiver that leads to the second most tight end snaps on the team. That could be a case due to.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. CareCare is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Injury, it could also potentially be a case of he beats out Ricard for blocking snaps, Ricard is cut, or that something else happens to one of the receivers that that he's the best blocking option by far, and that's why he gets more snaps. I've had talked on other shows about how I'd like to see the tight end slaps split. And forgetting Kolar and forgetting Ricard for a moment now, I'd like to see each of Likely and Andrews get two-thirds of the snaps with one-third in overlap. And so you keep a really rested players on the field. And Kolar can play a part of that, but it's actually by allocating one and a third snaps per play to tight end already between those two, there's not a whole lot left. And that's one of the things we see, is that it almost takes injury to get Charlie Kolar on the field. The other thing before we move on to Owe, I want to just say is that the Ravens have a couple of decisions to make for the 2025 season that probably increase Kolar's chance to be kept. And that is that they'll have to make a decision to extend Ricard if they want to do it, or they'll have to decide what they're going to do with the tight end position as late as after 25, but possibly by trade as early as, say, the 25 offseason, the pre-25 offseason. They may need to decide on, is it Likely or is it Andrews that we want to keep? Andrews has a lot less trade value. Likely looks like he might have the better next 4 years. So it's not obvious to me who you take, but when in doubt, I mean, I want to take the younger player, just generally speaking. Yeah. And Likely usually. Shown some things. Yeah, usually. Yeah. Like you certainly shown
Marshall Yanda, Coleccio, Semele, that didn't work out. But
yeah.
The Ravens made the right pick, but the younger player was not the one to pick. But yeah, I do agree with you. Usually that is the route that does work out more often than not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in particular in the receiving positions at cornerback, running back, certainly, I don't want to be stuck. It's like getting stuck with the Queen of Spades. You're just or the old maid card. You don't want that in your hand at the wrong time with a substantial contract that goes with it. Andrews is going to get paid. I mean, going into 26, yeah. he's going to make a lot of money, and Likely is going to make a pretty good amount of money as well. I'm just not sure exactly where. And you know, it may be a case of you're paying A money to either, or it may be a case of A versus B money. And, you know, what will you do for me tomorrow has to be the bigger question than what did you do for me over the last 5 years. All right. Ready to move on to Odafe Oye?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Let's do it for sure. Entering his fourth season, age 25, he did miss four games this last year with an injury, weeks 3 through 6. He played in this three-man outside linebacker pass rush rotation with Clowney and Van Noy that I thought was very effective this last year. They put Harrison and Tavius Robinson on the field on a lot of base packages on first down that gave that group a lot of relief. Those three guys were not asked to play three at the same time, more than a handful of snaps the whole year. And it ended up being two interior linemen and two out of three of their pass rush rotation, which really ended up, I think, benefiting the Ravens this last year.
Oh, without a doubt. It's unfortunate that the Ravens weren't able to re-sign Clowney. At the same time, we'll see, you know, he's getting up there in age too. If he's able to replicate, you know, the year that he had, it was certainly a better year than I was expecting from Clowney when we signed him. But I think that it certainly did benefit all three and Owe as much as any of them. I feel like last year we saw a more confident Owe, a guy who showed improvements as far as his pass rush moves. I think we saw a greater array of them than we'd seen in previous years. Certainly still some things to improve on. And while he did have that string of five games when he came back from injury where he had a sack in all but one of them, you know, statistically quieted down a little bit as the season went on, but still made an impact outside the stat sheet. Yeah, I mean, Owe, I think, is a guy who some members of the Ravens fan base are starting to lose patience with a little bit because the statistics, you know, undeniably aren't there. But if you watch the film, he's certainly shown improvement since his rookie year. And, you know, he's been valuable to this Ravens defense in last year in particular.
I think you could make the argument that in 2023, he was the Ravens' best pass rusher. And that's on a team with Matabike, a couple 9-sack guys. And his is all in the form of pressures, or most of it is anyway. But I've talked about the pyramid a number of times on this show, but pyramid has pressures at the bottom. You want a wide base always to support, less than that in quarterback hits. And since almost all quarterback hits, since almost all sacks are quarterback hits, then even lower, smaller number of sacks. This was a year where the Ravens ended up converting on a lot of the plays on which they got pressures because they were getting these compound pressure events where two guys, one guy was getting there, another guy was finishing, and they were extremely efficient in terms of having a narrow pyramid team-wide. The one exception to that was Adafe Owe, who, if you look at PFF's numbers, for example, had 40 hurries, 9 hits, and 5 sacks. Now, that's more like a normal pyramid. In fact, that's actually a wide-based pyramid, and that's fine. You need people on the team who can do that. And Adafe Owe is a big part of the Ravens' 60-sack season, believe me, in terms of how he set up other people. And Matabike can buy him a nice dinner for the additional contract size he got. And, a lot of it was set up. And Clowney as well, and Van Noy, they all benefited some from having Adafe on the field who didn't have nearly the close rate that those other guys did. He's got one of the harder jobs. He's usually up against the left tackle directly, trying to beat him one-on-one. That's what a rush linebacker is set to do, and he didn't really move to the Sam side at all. In fact, he had a really low 17 coverage snaps and 332 pass snaps, which means it's only about 5% of the time he's dropping to coverage. That's very different from past years at outside linebacker. But for him and Tyus Bowser, who dropped something like 30% of the time for his career, prior to last year. So they didn't really make use of that nearly as much. They dropped interior guys. They dropped the outside guys occasionally, but a lot of times they just came with the basic four. And Adafe Owe's, you know, contributions to pressures were very significant towards that 60-sack year.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the coverage, do you think it's just that they value him so much as a pass rusher and as a run defender, which is another area he really excelled at last year? Or do you think that just coverage wise, you know, that's just not part of his game, and which could be fine, you know, because, you know, he might not need to do that.
I think, before last year, I wanted them really to focus him on his pass rush responsibilities because I thought the other stuff, like trying to become Tyus Bowser, who was great at both, was really a kind of a distraction to him. And he had so many fundamental technical things about his rush game that were challenged, meaning starting with the slow get off. And I think they've worked on that some. I would say it was better last year. I still don't say it was at the top end. The other thing is, since Adafe Owe is the greatest athlete almost any left tackle will ever face, doesn't always bring that lever that ability on the field. Clearly, zero sacks in his final year at Penn State was a good example, but you also, you know, you're just not levering that advantage as much as you'd hope. The first move he makes on a left tackle ought to create an overreaction from that player, because he's got to be so quick to handle speed or to handle an inside move of some type. So if you have a move counter move to show, you know, a Euro step or a spin move or any number of other ways you're playing a half man and then turning into the other side, that should be very effective. A speed to power would be another good example. So it doesn't even have to be a half man move in the end there. It should be something that he should be able to do better than he has. And I didn't feel like the Ravens had focused him enough on just that. I hope that another year with Chuck Smith, who apparently has an enormous role with this team right now, very deservedly so, looking over draft picks and whatnot, gives me a lot of hope that he'll be better still in 2024. But, you know, and honestly, the same season, if he had it again, would be pretty damn good. And I don't think people would see that. I think I get the same thing that you're saying, that there's a frustration, a general frustration I see on Twitter over him.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you brought up Bowser, because the one thing that I'm looking at with him, and I'm wondering if the Ravens are going to do, is he going to have to play more pass coverage snaps with, now granted, of course, Bowser didn't play last year either. So, you know, maybe we did kind of see this defense without having, you know, someone playing both those roles. But just like you're saying, his athleticism, what he's able to do to rush the passer, how much hurries he's had, and the fact, like you're saying, you know, there's some improvements he can still have in his pass rush game. He can be more, even more effective than he's been if he's able to get off a little quicker. And I do think there's a chance for that this year. I think, you know, maybe it's overblown. You know, there has been it's been brought up that he was a little bit of a late starter to his football career. I think like junior year of high school or something like that. I also don't think he's the only guy in the NFL who's done that.
But, yeah, I'm tired of the excuses. If somebody brought that, and I want to remain as central as I can on the Adafi Owe debate over whether or not he's really fulfilled his potential. But if you bring that to the table, then I'm already given up on David Ajabo, because he's shown nothing in 2 years. He showed nothing in, you know, it took him very late to get to football. I mean, and I'm not willing to do that. And so I demand the same in terms of wanting that. I want more out of Daniel Fa'alele than being a developmental player at this point. Any third year player, I certainly want out of. Adafi Owe is entering year four. They picked up his fifth year option for a whole lot of money. I mean, they better see something that's as good as what I see in terms of his 2023 on field play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think an interesting question with him, now this is going a little bit into expectations, but I also think that, you know, when we're talking about expectations, it's a little unfair to put this as, you know, as the great season. There's a possibility in my mind, I think, that, you know, he could have, you know, a Justin Madubuike level breakout, because I think there are some parallels there. When you look at Madubuike in his first couple seasons, you know, he was doing a lot that would show up on film. And it would show up on the stat sheet, but not, you know, super consistently. And, you know, obviously he had a season that we'll see if he's able to replicate, because that's just a historic, incredible season that he had. But Owe has that same athleticism, like we're talking about, that Madubuike had. You know, are we seeing a chance for a 16 sack season of Owe as his ceiling?
Yeah, it might show up in sacks and it might not. Why don't we leave that for our expectations in terms of, you know, setting that? And, you know, I'll ask you, because I know you're a very deep analytic thinker in terms of your job and whatnot. I put mine at the 60th and 80th percentile. So I'm going to ask you, after you give me the good and the great, do you think there's an X percent chance of him doing this? That's what I want you to be ready.
Absolutely. But,
I think regardless of how you look at it, the Ravens are really looking for Owe to be the catalyst for the 2024 pass rush. And I think the vertical pyramid guys, Madubuike in particular, but also Van Noy to a lesser degree, are much less likely to repeat gaudy sack totals. And I mean, Van Noy just had a career year, and he did it at what, 32 or 33 years old. And so you're asking him to basically duplicate that a year later is very unlikely. With Owe, he's still a very young man, and asking him to repeat the season shouldn't be that big a deal. In fact, you should see improvement from a young player like him. But I think he is the Ravens pass rush. They'll get what they get from the middle, and hopefully that's very good. But in terms of outside linebacker, Adafi Owe has to lead this charge. And I think, again, you could make the case he was the Ravens' best pass rusher in 2023, even better than Clowney. But Clowney was very special to going on that weak side.
Yeah.
Sorry, exactly. On the strong side. Strong side. Yeah. Okay, well, let's jump right in and talk about what's a good season, what's a great season. What's a good season to you?
Yeah. I think for him, a good season would be, you know, like you're saying, continuing what he was doing from a quarterback pressure standpoint and hurrying, continuing to be a strong run defender. as far as, you know, looking at some stats, maybe around 30 to 35 tackles and 6 to 8 sacks, considering the fact that, you know, that sack number, if he played, you know, those couple, three games where he was out, he would have come really close to hitting that. That's, to me, seems perfectly in line with, hey, always basically, you know, just staying with where he was last year, given that same season. That, to me, seems like that would be the line with that.
Yeah, so you're also then projecting him for health in for the bulk of the season. So if you do that,
right? So, which I know you don't like to project in these, but
I think you need to consider it probabilistically. That's all I'd say. And most seasons where that are at the top X percent, whatever that is, and you know, so I set my good at you know the 60th percentile. If you're in the top 40%, a lot of the times that means in a lot of positions that you're playing probably 16 or 17 games. If you're safety or cornerback or quarterback, you'd certainly expect to be missing no more than one or maybe two games at the worst to do that. So with you haven't laid yourself any criteria that are too difficult with that good season, which is good, but percentage chance that he gets there, what would you estimate it at?
I would say probably about a good, you know, 87% chance. I mean,
Okay. He's
shown to me that, you know, he's been consistent as far as his improvement. The fact that he had, you know, showed these improvement in his pass rush moves with the hiring of Smith shows to me that, you know, he's a coachable guy. So combine coachability with athleticism, you know, that's a recipe for consistency for a player.
Okay. All right. Here's what I've got for a good season. I said stays at rush end. That's important. Is not asked to play much in coverage, just like last year. Snap count is limited. Tops out at 60%. I think freshness is important for him. Of course, I said the same thing about Madubuike last year. Madubuike broke out with a ton of snaps. So what the hell do I know? By sharing the job with Ajabo at Robinson and also Isaac as well, potentially. Quality of his pressures improve with the second year of Chuck Smith, and his pass rush pyramid widens at the top. So more quarterback hits and sacks does not have to mean he gets more pressures. He's got to have more finishes among a similar number of total pressure events. Plays the run well when in. So I'm not setting any specific need for a sack level. Obviously implicit in a lot of what I'm saying and you know, being close to 60% of the snaps is he's got to have a fair amount of health there to get through that. But the Ravens do have more candidates to play that rush end than they do to play the Sam side. You know, so they may ask Isaac to play on the Sam side and spend time there. Whereas I think with Ajabo and Robinson, I don't think that's a good fit at all.
Yeah.
You want to move on? Yeah, what's a great season?
Yeah. So, I mean, a great season for him. I think you're looking at, you know, statistically between 50 to 60 tackles, 10 to 12 sacks. You're seeing visible improvement from him in his pass rush skills, quicker off the ball, moving tackles more to his will rather than I think sometimes, you know, getting stuck in a spin move or you know, having them anticipate a move that he's doing. And you know, just this last one's a little hard to quantify, but, you know, just making noticeable plays every game. I mean, I think there's certainly some games where, you know, you watched it real time and maybe you didn't really notice what he did till you came back and watched the film. Right. So, yeah, just being continuing to be around the ball game in and game out.
I like a lot of what you said there, and I've got some of that in there, obviously, but develops the first step necessary to take this pass rush to another level. That's the first thing you said is improve his get off. Working with Chuck Smith pays big dividends in terms of secondary move development. That really goes with the second point you made about manipulating the tackle. He's got to have that tackle on a puppet string. In fact, better, he's got to be using that left tackle like a sock puppet, moving him around at his will. You know, making a move that forces a counter move, forces an overreaction that he can then exploit and have the timing down for that. And timing is like timing in boxing. We're talking about this is, you know, you determine it in milliseconds, measure it in milliseconds, not in tenths of a second. And he's got to get to that point where his reaction time is good enough and his counters are good enough, his hand placement is good enough that he's ready to go and develop some of those at another level. He's recognized as one of the league's elite pass rushers, whether or not that translates to double-digit sack number in the Ravens system. And I think most important thing I can say overall about this is that the overall pass rush for this defense doesn't drop off too much in terms of the combination of pressures and sacks. They could drop off into the high 40s in sacks, no lower than that. They're at 60 a year ago. I think high 40s would be fine with the loss of Clowney, with the change of defensive coordinator, with all the things that are going on, and the fact that 60 is an outlier season, period. I think it's fine if it dropped off into the low 50s or even high 40s. But it's got to be still benefiting the Ravens in other ways, in terms of turnovers, in terms of quarterback mistakes, in terms of some batted balls, in terms of some other events that are not necessarily sacks coming back and being seen as more prevalent. So it's a big adjustment to not have Jadeveon Clowney on this team anymore. And it's specifically a big adjustment because Clowney and Owe were such a deadly combination. Clowney and Van Noy were a deadly combination. And Owe and Van Noy were a deadly combination. Now, you got one such really good combination, and you got to see what you have with Isaac, see what you have with Ajabo. We just don't have those guarantees. But if the overall pass rush does not drop off, I'm going to take it to mean the most likely course of getting there will be that Adafi Owe drives his pass rush as he did in 2023 with a lot of pressure, a lot of the first pressures necessary to set other people up.
Yep. All sounds all great right. to me.
you sign on that one? I'll sign too right now. all right. Peter, always a pleasure to talk football with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online, and one more time about One Winning Pod.
Yeah, absolutely. One Winning Pod. We are on YouTube, on Twitter. We can download wherever you get our podcasts. I think Alex trying to get us on Threads. I'm still not on Threads, but I think if anyone's on Threads, we're on there a little bit. I am on Twitter at PeakAcore2112. I'm trying to get back in my Twitter game. Fell off it last year after all the drama that happened with everything, but Twitter's as good as how you use it, and I just got to get back on it.
All right. Fair enough. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. In addition to Recollections, still have openings there. Just tell me the player you want. You know by now what that show is. I'm also doing a concerns series, so hit me up with what's your major concern is going into camp for the 2024 Baltimore Ravens. We'll do a quick show on that. These things will probably be 15, 20 minutes, so please don't rebuild the entire franchise. We're talking about maybe one position group or one specific schematic hole in what the Ravens have, but not, I hate their whole passing game and, this has got to change and everything about it. I can't do a show that long. That'd be hours to do that. So please think about what topic we can talk about in about 20 minutes. And I'd love to have that discussion with you. Again, DM me and I'll get right back to you on scheduling a time. Peter, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken, for having me.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.